how pleasant it would be before God and man, yeah, to see the unification of all Africans, yeah. As it's been said already, let it be done, yeah. We are the children of the Rastaman. Grooving to our father's land, yeah. How good and how pleasant it would be before God and man to see the unification of all Rasta man, yeah. As it's been said already, let it be done.
Greetings, beautiful, bold people. Welcome to the BKB show. Today is the 24th of December and we are about to wrap up the year 2021 in few days time. So there's a lot happening around the world, but today I want us to focus on the African continent, the beautiful African continent. I am Lerato Moimane and I will be your host for as long as we are together. So the song that we opened up with is by Bob Marley, Africa Unite, from his album Survival that was released in 1979. Bob Marley was a freedom fighter. He was a visionary and he has so much love for Africa and Africans. Rest in power, Robert Nesta Marley. So the theme of our topic today is Africa Unite, and the question we're asking is, why is it important for Africans to unite? We're not asking you if it's important for Africans to unite. For sure, it is important for Africans to unite. So we want to know, why do you think it's important for Africans to unite? Or why is it important for Africans to unite? And we have a voice message from one visionary. Let me say, one solutionist answering this question. Listen to it.
Hi, Lerato, and hi to you listeners. Africa Unite, and the reasons why Africa should unite and Africans should unite, simply because if you look at the case of individualism and the case of continental individualism, when you look at Africa and its countries pulling in different directions in one continent. For instance, the position that in trade, Africa still trades with the dollar. With all the minerals that Africa can use on its own and use one currency, and actually build a United States of Africa, it becomes a problem when you find that there's what we call a continental individualism, where this continent with so much potential and so much minerals and everything that the world needs, but we choose to be individual countries and see ourselves making it as countries and not making it basically as a continent. But then it's a maladjustment that is also in Africans as well, the concept that Africans must pull in different directions on their own as people, where you find that a billionaire celebrates his success because he is one man who has a billion rands in a continent that has the highest poverty levels that you could ever find. If you look at South Africa, which is highest inequality, it's also a concept that is brought to basically, it's a concept that is close to capitalism. Because capitalism functions in a way that a few must have a lot and a lot must have a few. To a point that it has convinced us to celebrate such things, to a point that we see ourselves as people who are self-insufficient, because when you are an individual, you can't do a lot. The difference in consciousness, the consciousness of unity and the consciousness of individualism, comes that in group psychology, you will find that people are easily assimilate to a group. People assimilate to a group goal and group thoughts, and they want to belong to a group. Because a group has power and a group can function better. But the difference with the psychology of group psychology and the individual psychology, you find that there are certain things that you cannot do as an individual. In fact, a human being doesn't reach his full potential if he's an individual. He can only reach his full potential if he is in a group. Because a group functions better, and a group has power if it has an individual goal. And a group does things better. You'll find that an individual finds himself doing more in a group than he does more as an individual. Because it becomes easier. That is why you find things like mob justice, you find things like protesting when people do things that they would not normally do as individuals. So unity functions in a way that it makes us stronger, and it makes us push in a direction with power and a concentration of power in a group with goals that are of that group. And then you see us coming to a position that we will win if we do that. An example is the United States of America and the dollar as a currency in the whole states of America, which is an economic powerhouse if it could be used in Africa, when Africa becomes a United States of Africa and uses one currency, which will become that they destroy the continental individualism that they've implemented. And that was implemented also by the powers that be in the Western countries who build this kind of countries that we have today that keep pulling us back. So yeah, that's my contribution. Thank you very much.
Africa is the world's largest and second populous continent after Asia with 55 countries. Nigeria is the most populated country in Africa with over 200 million citizens. And Seychelles is the least populated country with less than 10,000 citizens. That's like a village. Okay. So the total population of an African continent sits at 1.3 billion, which is close to the population of China alone as a country that now sits at 1.4 billion. So China gained independence simultaneously with Africa, and China is now the second highest ranking country in the world in nominal GDP. So we need to study the pattern of the Chinese and follow suit. What did they do right? What did we do wrong? And I was watching a clip by Dr. Lumbamba. I'm going to play an audio format right now, when he said, if we remain where we are, then Africa in the next 25 years will be recolonized. And my question was, by who? Okay, listen to the clip and please listen to it attentively.
Nobody cares about us. And brothers and sisters, if you want to know how weak we are, and we are weak, look at how we are treated. Last month, the world met in New York. the General Assembly, when African heads of states and government are speaking, the hall is empty. Nobody bothers, because they are saying nothing. And even if they are saying something, it is something that can't be ignored. Compare when an African head of state and government is speaking and when the Prime Minister of Little Israel is speaking. They will listen, because we are weak and disunited. So we have a weak continent because the spirit of Pan-Africanism disappeared. So the question that we can ask, what is the state of Pan-Africanism as we speak today? The African Union, which is weak, says the right things and does the wrong things 9 out of 10 times. And what are the critical areas in which we are weak? We are weak politically, because nobody listens to us. We are not trading with one another. Intra-African trade is not anything beyond 15%, the lowest anywhere in the world. If you look at all our sectors and look at them, look at our agriculture, almost all African countries are net food importers. There is not a single African country that is in meaningful technology. Not a single African country produces a mobile phone. Yet the single most important ingredient in mobile telephony is to be found in the Democratic Republic of Congo. Not a single African country produces a car other than assembling completely knocked-down kits. There is no meaningful production of pharmaceutical products in Africa. And if there was any doubt, COVID exposed it. All African countries, the 55 of them, are waiting to either receive Sinovac from China, Sputnik from Russia, AstraZeneca, Johnson or Moderna. And we don't even know what they are, because our bureaus of standardization don't know. If you ask the Ethiopian Bureau of Standards what they are asking us to be injected with, they do not know. They just believe it is a vaccine because the Americans have said so, or because the Chinese have said so. Africa is weak. So that even this magnificent edifice, I suspect, has not been erected by Ethiopian engineers. When I see the signage in Chinese, I suspect it is the Chinese. That is how weak we are. That is the reality of our mother continent. It is because we are politically weak, we are economically weak, socially we are disorganized, culturally and spiritually we are confused. That is the continent in which we are today. We unite or we perish. That as I travel along across the world, people do not care about our Tanzanianness or our Ghanaianness or our Kenyanness or our Ethiopianness. In their eyes, we are all Africans. And perhaps that is what we should use as the building block in order to talk about African unity. But we are not being naive about that unity. Because sometimes when we talk about Pan-Africanism and about African unity, people think we are being too simplistic about it. No, it is not being simplistic and being naive. It is recognizing that as long as we remain the way we are, then Africa in the next 25 years will be recolonized.
Apologies for that, Prof. He's not a doctor, he's a professor. Professor Lumbumba, apologies for that. Fellow Africans, we unite or we perish. Prof made a point there when he said that when we travel along across the world, people don't care about our South Africanness, Tanzanianness, Ethiopianness, because in their eyes, we are all Africans. We are one, which answers the question of today. One thing about us Africans, we are gifted musically. Music is our best means of communicating. The songs, there are songs of praise, criticism, and songs of struggles and unity, revolutionary songs. Back in the days, so the likes of Hugh Masekela and Salif Keita used to write songs, meaningful songs. So I'm going to play you one of those songs titled African Convention, sang by the late Miriam Makeba, written by the late Hugh Masekela. We lost visionaries. We lost freedom fighters. Here it is. Enjoy it.
For us by Hugh Masekela, another South African musician. He calls it African Convention. Thank you.
Talk about African convention. We gotta dance some blues away. Ah, that is Mama Africa, Miriam Makeba. She made her mark. She unified Africans the best way she knew how. May her soul rest in power. Thank you for the songs. Thank you for your music. So throughout the week, I've been engaging with fellow African brothers and sisters from different countries. And we spoke a lot about the challenges we faced with as a continent and how we can overcome them. Now, going back to that question. Going back to that question of today. Why is it important for Africans to unite? We have Tiger from Ethiopia. Tiger, what do you think is important for Africans to unite?
Hello, Rito. So this is the point I have for the question, why Africa must unite? Before that, let me mention things what we have lost because we weren't united. We Africans has been used for centuries only because we weren't united. The Western countries took advantage of that to exploit our resources. They came to us in humanitarian reasons and divided us using our ethnicity, religion, and other social facts. They made our education system very poor, not to think critically, rather only to remember things. And our leaders are a result of that poor education. So they do not ask, they do not think critically. They became just puppets for the Western world. So this is why Africa is very rich country resource-wise, but not in administrating resources. We are very poor in administrating our resources. The only way we can change this is by uniting and standing together to protect our resources, what's ours. So we can integrate our economy and rule the world. You know, every country has a resource and every country have their strengths, and we can unite that and we can use it. We can use our water to make energy and sell that between us to countries who need power sources, you know, even for industries. We can sell food between us. We can sell fuel between us. We can even work to make us have one currency, just like how the former Libyan ruler was dreaming about. We can have a joint military, even we can be stronger than that, you know, have a better power than the Europeans. And if we do these things, you know, Western imperialists, they cannot use our leaders to do things what they like. We can grow as a nation, as one people, and we can be irresistible, you know. So my point is that we have to be united so we can get out of the poverty and be strong, and we can do that not tomorrow, just today. We can start it today. We can do that. And one Africa, one love. Peace.
We can do it. Yeah, we can do it. One love, one harmony, one heart. Ethiopians are going through the most currently. I agree with him there. They made our education system poor. But can we make it rich? When we eagerly want to turn things around, we need to start focusing on solutions. Maybe introduce project-based learning that will help learners think critically. That's how the Chinese are training their kids from the tender age. And education is the backbone of the nation. Let's see how we can make it work. Thank you, Tiger, for your contribution. Dear fellow Africans, we can build the Africa we want. We need each other. Let's respect one another. There's no denying that we have a common enemy. And for us to win, we must unite, because united we stand, divided we fall. So the time for Africa is now. Africa rise, Africa shine, Africa unite. I'm signing out now. Let me love and leave you with a song by Salif Keita, a singer-songwriter from Mali, Africa. Enjoy it and dance to it, please.
Africa. Africa, 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 Afric